Test.
Check this out.
Ranger.
Autonomous Action Radio, a multimedia radio show, a website, an idea, a suggestion, an action plan. Because it's up to us now.
This communique will most likely be marked and destroyed shortly after it is discovered. Listen on at your own risk.
Killer woke from the Middle East, you're a hero. Your country is causing screams that never reach your ear holes. America infected a million ground zeros. So, we must ask ourselves, what is the dictionary definition of terrorism? The systematic use of terror, especially as a means of coercion. But what is terror? According to the dictionary I hold in my hand, terror is violent or destructive acts, such as bombing, committed by groups in order to intimidate a population or government into granting their demands. So what's a terrorist?
They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terrorist. When they put it on me, I tell them this, I'm all about peace and love. They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terrorist. Insulting my intelligence, oh how these people judge.
Seems like the ragheads and packies are worrying your dad, but your dad's favourite food is curry and kebab. It's funny but it's sad how they make your mummy hurry with her bags, rather read the sun and study all the facts. Tell me, what's the bigger threat to human society? BAE systems or homemade IEDs, remote controlled drones killing off human lives, or man with homemade bomb committing suicide? I know you were terrified when you saw the towers fall. It's all terror, but some forms are more powerful. It seems nuts, how could there be such agony when more Israelis die from peanut allergies? It's like the definition didn't ever exist. I guess it's all just dependent who your nemesis is. Irrelevant how eloquent the rhetoric peddler is. They're telling fibs, now tell us who the terrorist is.
They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terrorist. When they put it on me, I tell them this, I'm all about peace and love. They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terrorist. Insulting my intelligence, oh how these people judge.
Lumumba was democracy, Mossadegh was democracy, Allende was democracy. Hypocrisy, it bothers me. Call you terrorists if you don't wanna be a colony. Refuse to bow down to a policy of robbery. It's terrorism, my lyrics. When more Vietnam vets killed themselves after the war than died in it, this is very basic. One nation in the world has over 1,000 military bases. They say it's religion when clearly it isn't. It's not just Muslims that oppose your imperialism. Is Hugo Chavez a Muslim? Nah, I didn't think so. Is Castro a Muslim? Nah, I didn't think so. It's like the definition didn't ever exist. I guess it's all just dependent who your nemesis is. Irrelevant how eloquent the rhetoric peddler is. They're telling fibs, now tell us who the terrorist is.
They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terrorist. When they put it on me, I tell them this, I'm all about peace and love. They're calling me a terrorist, like they don't know who the terrorist. Insulting my intelligence, oh how these people judge.
You think that I don't know, but I know, I know, I know. You think that we don't know, but we know.
Was building seven terrorism, was now no thermite terrorism. Diego Garcia was terrorism. I am conscious, the conscious were terrorism. Phosphorus that burns hands, that is terrorism. Erdogan and Stern gang, that was terrorism. What they did in Hiroshima was terrorism. What they did in Fallujah was terrorism. Mandela ANC, that was terrorism. Jerry Adams IRA, that was terrorism. Eric Prince Black.
reason.
Evening, Ahmed.
Infidel.
So you're a terrorist?
Yes, I am a terrorist.
What kind of terrorist?
A terrifying terrorist. Silence! I kill you!
Starting off today's show, the Anarchy Show, that was Low-Key and Terrorist. You're on the Anarchy Show, Autonomous Action Radio, 4ZZZ, 102.1 FM. On the line right now, all the way from Philadelphia, we've got Franklin Lopez, the Stimulator. How are you going, Franklin?
Hi, I'm doing, well, I'm not going so great, but I'm maintaining. Thanks for having me on the show, Lynn. How are you?
No worries, I'm fantastic, thank you. And we were just commenting, it's very hot over here, but it's sort of cold where you are.
Yeah, I'm working my way south so I can escape the cold and visit my folks down in Puerto Rico.
Okay, you're like a migratory bird.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, flying. So we're talking to you now. It's great to have you back on the show. And we're talking...
Yeah, it's awesome to be back.
So we're talking to you about the 10-year anniversary of Submedia. And so that was 2004. Submedia
right.
Started. Tell us what happened, how it came together.
Well, actually, Submedia started in 1994. It's just that in 2004, we started making anarchist films. And so... we were making stuff that was political, but we were not super politicized back then. And so this marker is like this film called Join the Resistance, Fall Off, which is based on the writings of Crime Think.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of marked a turn into our practice as filmmakers to making anarchist films. And ever since, we've made over 200 videos, including a feature film that I did in Australia with you back in 2012. Our videos are watched by millions of people, and you know, more than just this just being like a pat on the back, what we're trying to push is this idea that people can make anarchists a radical media and do it sustainably over a long period of time. And this is why we're releasing this DVD and trying to put this idea out there that you yourself can be the media, and that you know you can actually live all of this stuff.
Fantastic. And in 2006 or 7 is when you started making It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine?
Yeah, in December 2006 I produced two shows of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine and continued on, and now it's like 8 years later and I'm still doing that shit. And I love it's become really a deep part of my life. Right now there's like about 5 of us working on this right now. We're trying to like make it a more regular thing, like back to doing it like twice a month, like it used to be back in the first few years. and but also like to, for me to take some things off my plate and like other people like kind of take part in the process of collectivizing some media.
Right. And what's included? You've got this DVD. What's included on the DVD?
Yeah, the DVD. Excuse me, I have a flu. The DVD is a it's a compilation of what we consider as the best films from the past 10 years. So it's about 2 hours worth of films, and includes that first one that I mentioned, John Deere Systems Fall in Love. And it takes you all the way through all the different reports that we made, reports from Greece, reports from Japan.
Reports from Australia, from the desert in Australia.
Well, we include a piece from It's the End of the World, so we know it, and I feel fine, but we did not include the Australian piece. But I do talk about that a lot, because one of the most memorable things that I that I've been through, like that so-called riot at the 10th Embassy, that was something else.
So you've been to actual riots.
To actual riots.
Toronto,
countries.
Toronto 2010, but the non-riot that we started in Canberra.
Yeah, I saw that. I witnessed the Dillard looser shoe. That was pretty dramatic.
we're pretty hardcore here in Australia.
I was not expecting to see that. It was an experience. So we take it all the way up to this video that we so it's just gonna bookend the whole DVD. And it's called the last video is called To Change Everything, and it's almost an introduction to anarchism.
Yeah.
And that's actually gonna be officially on, and it comes along with a booklet that's being translated into multiple languages and that people can also order for free and get it shipped in bundles. So I think 10 or 12, and then you can give out to your friends who might be curious about Aki. And so, true to our hatred for intellectual property, we're selling the DVD for a small fee, but we're also giving away. So you can go to submedia.tv right now and download a copy, watch on your computer, burn the disc, print the booklet, and get to your friends. You know, if you're broke, give gifts this Christmas. Like, this could be something that you can do for very little or no cost at all.
I have a tip for beginners, maybe not for beginners, but you can actually mount the DVD on your computer drive or something using an ISO program, like Magic ISO, so you don't have to burn the DVD. You can open
That's
it
right.
without burning the DVD.
That's right, and you can also read the booklet. Like, we included like a 20-page booklet. You can read the booklet on the file, so on the DVD, once you actually mount the DVD on your computer, so you don't have to print it out if you don't want.
So where's the website again?
It's media.tv. That's S as in Sam, U, B as in Barry, media.tv, like television.
Great. And when I was thinking about today's show, and when I heard the news about the guy in New York who shot the cops, the police, and I was thinking what would be a suitable thing to say about that, and apart from the fact that he shot his girlfriend, which we deplore domestic violence. And I've heard a lot of liberals, I haven't actually read too much of it, a lot of liberals backpedaling on their fuck the police. Finally, I'd like to ask you what your response is to the killing of those police officers and how people should talk about it.
Well, I mean, it's really too bad that he has to go shoot his partner, because domestic violence is not something to take too lightly. But you know what? I think people in the United States, especially black folks, Latinos, Asian folks, people of all sort of minorities, poor white folks even, are tired of police brutality. And I think it was just a breaking point. And I think we shouldn't be surprised people are actually shooting back, shooting the police. I mean, this happens, you know, from time to time, but I think that this pushback, not just in this one police shooting, but also the daily demonstrations that have been going on since, you know, the past month, and especially consider everything that happened since August, it just shows you that people just had enough. And I'm really stoked to see that's happening, because the United States always gets kind of put into this little stereotype that people are subdued, people are passive, and yeah, certainly the police are fucking assholes in the United States, and I think that's a big part of where things sort of blow up a little bit more in terms of like social movements. But I think that there's also so much of it people can take, and like, you know, now that people have shone the spotlight on police brutality against black folks, all you do is go to social media, and there's some shit that happens every day. There's some black person or a Latino or somebody who just gets shot by a cop for some shit-ass reason, and people are just done, you know? And a lot of folks and a lot of Latinos know that their life expectancy is not very high, so I understand if you know, some of them just want to take a few cops on the way out when they know they don't have that much of a lifeline anyway. So, and I'm not saying that it's the smartest thing to do, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to condemn a brother for doing that.
You may have heard, I don't know if you heard, but we had the G20 here in Brisbane, and there was this big hoo-ha about it, but nothing happened. And then a week after that, the cops actually shot and killed three people in Queensland.
Jesus Christ.
And I think that part of that can be put down to the big hype about the G20. The other part of it can be put down to the lowering of the entry standards for police and the shortening of the course. We will let you keep going and take a rest. Get a coffee or a taco. In the airport.
I think I'm gonna pass the fuck out. Right. I'm pretty exhausted, and I have a really bad cold, and I'm gonna take some cold medicine, and I'm gonna crash the fuck out.
Okay.
But thank you so much for making the time to have me on the show. I mean, for people out there who don't know, when Linda was doing the Anarchy show, she basically broadcast my show. She was the first. It was the first radio show that had the brilliant thing. Take my show, which is a video show, and put it on the air. So, I mean, this is something. So, thank you so much for always pumping our shit on your airways down under. And please keep in touch. And people should always know to support independent and to give triple set when the time comes for them to ask you for money.
Yeah.
Fuck around.
Thanks very much, Franklin. And
all right. Good night, Linda.
Okay. Pass out there in the airport lounge. And we were just speaking to Franklin Lopez from submedia.tv, the stimulator who makes the program It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. And you can download the 10-year anniversary of the Submedia from submedia.tv. And now today I'm going to play A Junkie's Christmas by William S. Burroughs, as I like to do every year. But also, I've got a whole lot of tracks that Franklin has requested, some of his favourites, which are some of my favourites as well. And right now, I'm going to play Malcolm Garvey Huey by Dead Prez.
Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Dedicated to all political prisoners.
Life was like a movie. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Life was like a movie.
Free Mumia.
I die. I organize. Everything I do's revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these. Really think you should. I study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Marcel Cody with the Uzi. Listening to Fela Kuti. I'm a goon with the machete. Especially if it's deadly. Got the Santos for the Hexy to protect me. So respect me. This is heavy, legendary. revolutionary. My wifey, she resurrect me when they thought they had me buried. Took me out the cemetery, now it's family over every, cause that's all that's necessary to avoid the commissary. I'ma live for you five, so I stop getting high. If you know, then you recognize it's that black and brown pride. This the power of the mind, RBG, God divine. You can see through the lies if you could read between the lines.
I live, I die, I organize. Everything I do, revolutionize. I'll get what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these, really think you should.
Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Malcolm Garvey Huey, Bungie, Bobby, Pac, and Tookie. Sitting by the door so you can say I'm acting spooky. Just like in the movie, son, you better pack your toolie. Niggas wish be acting fruity, you'll be cracking like they pookie. Rather smoke a doobie than be burning and eluding. Bang, bang, pig shooting, we should blame Rudy Julie. Yanny for the camera, shine a white and nose candy. Let you banging on the system, you a gangster wearing panties. RBG, my family, from the Bronx to Miami. Police cannot stand me, Pacquiao like a Manny. Call me little Bobby Hutton, cause I'm first to push the button. Rappers don't be saying nothing to the system, we say fuck em. This is for Nahanda, Mama C, Mama Akua. All the real OGs, I'm a soldier, cause you told me study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey, I'm reporting in the duty.
Sticky, icky, yours truly, here for duty. Don DeVito, M.A. Uno, you know how we drop the jury. This is real, not a movie, not Mickey, Donald, Goofy. I'm a soldier, I avoid a bitch nigga like the cooties.
School face in a hoodie.
Fresh pair of khakis, we could do this like we fam. I go to war like the Apaches, for whatever, I stay ready. I learned that in Tallahassee, Baba Toon, they used to school me. As a juvie, skipping classes, never let the system use me. My duty is my passage, watch the homies in your army. They don't always show they badges, keep your family living healthy. Teach your children about they blackness, teach your wifey how to use the ratchet. This shit is classic, get your food, clothes, and shelter. Fuck the system, pimp it backwards. I ain't hating, I'm just saying, if you wanna be a rapper, study
Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey, study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey, study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey, study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey.
A tactical approach is designed to get certain results. It's designed to keep you alive. It's designed to bring about victory.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. Somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Oh, shit. They always try to kick me out after this one. All right, fuck it.
Here we go again.
I kill cops every day, I kill the cops in my head. Celebrate Thanksgiving or Independence Day. We don't ever thank the pigs, cause the people they betray. When those fuckers build a prison, they gotta fill it up. Your mirror's quick to tell you who it be that gets locked up. That's why I kill cops every day. I kill the cops in my head. a target for the brutality. To the crooked cops, killing my people needlessly. The people keep track of every dirty deed. We know who you are, and we know who we be. We embody resistance every time that we breathe. We hold in our chests every mother's grief for the babies they lost. The constant terror they keep of cops ignoring their conscience and acting like sheep. Just doing your job corrupts your humanity. So don't approach me unless you wanna get checked. You can't flash enough badges to get my respect. I don't need to be served, I don't need to be protected. Hoping the next corner gets the strategy perfected. That's why I kill cops every day. I kill the cops in my head. Kill a cop every day. Kill the cop in your head.
Two cups of tea, one for you and one for me. Drown out the pain from polluted acid rain and flaming gasoline until we're clean. Two dead police, one for hope and one for peace. Watching government lies leak into your empty eyes from the TV. And when there's history, three dead police, one for thanks and two for please. In every single town, every officer is down. All dead police, all dead police.
Fucking hipsters there with two cups of tea, and before that was a song which was a request from Franklin Alas with KK'd, and Dead Prez with Malcolm Garvey Huey as well, a request for Franklin but also a favorite of mine. It's 25 minutes to 1 o'clock. My name is Linda and you're on the Aniki Show on 4ZZZ Autonomous Action Radio, also podcast at autonomousactionradio.com, radio for all, and broadcasts on Z Digital Tuesdays from 7 till 8 p.m. Also on Free Radio Edmonton and A Revolt Digital Anarchy on the internet. And before we play A Junkie's Christmas by William S. Burroughs, I just wanted to talk a little bit about terrorism. The first song I played today was by Loki and it was called Terrorist. And I started thinking about terrorism after the events in Sydney last week, which I think were not terrorism. And the reason why is that terrorism is the systematic use of terror, especially as a means of coercion. And this is from the Loki song, but it's also in the dictionary. Terror is violent or destructive acts such as bombing committed by groups in order to intimidate a population or government into granting their demands. And I think what happened in Sydney was just one random dude who actually arrived on a business visa from Iran and was wanted in Iran for fraud. And then later the Howard government gave him political asylum, although many Muslim people actually warned the government about this man because he was seen as not someone who represents Muslim and a fraud. And so I looked into terrorism more and I found this very surprising fact. And terrorism is derived from the French word terrorisme and was first used to describe state terror. So terrorism was first used to describe state terror in France several hundred years ago. And so when people say that the police are a terrorist organization, it's actually using the original meaning of the word terrorism. So how's that for a good little bit of information there and some knowledge to arm yourself with? I'm going to play now A Junkie's Christmas by William S. Burroughs, as I like to do every year around this time. It has a great message. And when I come back, I'm going to be playing some more songs which were requested by Franklin and talking about some success with immigration, a refugee resisting being deported back to China.
It was Christmas Day and Daddy the car wiper hit the street junk, sick and broke, after 72 hours in a precinct cell. It was a clear, bright day, but there was no warmth in the sun. Danny shivered with a bitter cold. He turned up the collar of his worn, greasy black overcoat. This beat Benny wouldn't pawn for a deuce, he thought. It was in the West 90s. A long block of brownstone rooming houses. Here and there, a holly wreath in a clean, black window. Danny's senses registered everything sharp and clear with the painful intensity of junk sickness. The light hurt his dilated eyes. He walked past a car, darting his pale blue eyes sideways in quick appraisal. There was a package on the seat, and one of the ventilator windows was unlocked. Danny walked on 10 feet, no one in sight. He snapped his fingers and went through a pantomime of remembering something and wheeled around. No one. Bad setup, he decided. Street get empty like this, I stand out conspicuous. Gotta make it fast. He reached for the ventilator window. A door opened behind him. Danny whipped out a rag and began polishing the car windows. He could feel the man standing behind him. What are you doing? Danny turned as if surprised. Oh, just thought your car windows needed polishing, mister. The man had a frog face and a deep South accent. He was wearing a camel's hair overcoat. My car don't need polishing, nothing stole out of it neither. Danny slid sideways, the man grabbed for him. I wasn't looking to steal nothing, mister. I'm from the South too, Florida. Goddamn sneaking thief. Danny walked away fast and turned a corner. Better get out of the neighborhood. That hick is likely to call the law. He walked 15 blocks, sweat running down his body. It was a raw ache in his lungs. His lips drew back off his yellow teeth in a snarl of desperation. I got his score somehow, if I had some decent clothes. Then he saw a suitcase standing in a doorway. Good leather. He stopped and pretended to look for a cigarette. Funny, he thought. No one around. Inside, maybe, phoning for a cab. The corner was only a few houses away. Danny took a deep breath and picked up the suitcase. He made the corner, another block, another corner. The case was heavy. I got a score, all right, he thought. Maybe enough for a 16th in a room. Danny shivered and twitched, feeling a warm room and heroin emptying into his veins. Let's have a quick look. He stepped into Morningside Park. No one around. Jesus, I never saw the town this empty. He opened the suitcase. Two long packages in brown wrapping paper. He took one out. It felt like meat. He tore the package open at one end, revealing a woman's naked foot. The toenails were painted with purple-red polish. He dropped the leg with a sneer of disgust. Holy Jesus, he exclaimed. The routines people put down these days. Legs! Well, I got a case anyway. He dumped the other leg out. No bloodstains. He snapped the case shut and walked away. Legs, he muttered. He found the buyer sitting at a table in Harrow's cafeteria. Thought you might be taking the day off, Danny said, putting the case down. The buyer shook his head sadly. I got nobody, so what's Christmas to me? His eyes traveled over the case, poking, testing, looking for flaws. What was in it? Nothing. What's the matter? I don't pay enough. I tell you, there wasn't nothing in it. Okay, so somebody travels with an empty suitcase. Okay, he held up three fingers. For Christ's sake, Skimpy, give me a nickel. You got somebody else, why don't he give you a nickel? It's like I say, the case was empty. Skimpy kicked at the case disparagingly. It's all nicked up and kind of dirty looking. He sniffed suspiciously. How come it stink like that? Mexican leather? So, am I in the leather business? Gimpy shrugged. Could be. He pulled out a roll of bills and peeled off three ones, dropping them on the table behind the napkin dispenser. You want? Okay, Danny picked up the money. You see George the Greek, he asked. Where you been? He got busted 2 days ago. Oh, that's bad. Danny walked out. Now where can I score, he thought. George the Greek had lasted so long, Danny thought of him as permanent. It was good age, too, and no short counts. Danny went up to 103rd and Broadway. Nobody in Harrow. Nobody in the automat. Yeah, he snarled. All the pushers off on the nod someplace. What they care about anybody else? So long as they get it in the vein. What they care about a sick junkie? Wiped his nose with one finger, looking around furtively. There was no one he knew in the 23rd Street Thompson's. Jesus, he thought, where is everybody? He clutched his coat collar together with one hand, looking up and down the street. There's Joey from Brooklyn. I'd know that hat anywhere. Joey, hey, Joey. Joey was walking away with his back to Danny. He turned around. His face was sunken, skull-like. The gray eyes glittered under a greasy gray felt hat. Joey was sniffing at regular intervals. His eyes were watering. No use asking him, Danny thought. They looked at each other with the hatred of disappointment. Guess you heard about George the Greek, Danny said. Yeah, I heard. He'd been up to 103rd. Yeah, just came from there. Nobody around. Nobody around any place, Joey said. I can't even score for goofballs. Well, Merry Christmas, Joey. See ya. Yeah, see ya. Danny was walking fast. He had remembered a croaker on 18th Street. Of course, the croaker had told him not to come back. Still, it was worth trying. Brownstone house with a card in the window. P.H. Zuniga, M.D. Danny rang the bell. He heard slow steps. The door opened and the doctor looked at Danny with bloodshot brown eyes. He said nothing. He just leaned there looking at Danny. Goddamn alcoholic, Danny thought. He smiled. Merry Christmas, doctor. The doctor did not reply. You remember me, doctor. Danny tried to edge past the doctor into the house. I'm sorry to trouble you on Christmas Day, but I've suffered another attack. Attack? Yes, facial neuralgia. Danny twisted one side of his face into a horrible grimace. The doctor recoiled slightly and Danny pushed into the dark hallway. Better shut the door, you'll be catching cold, he said jovially, shoving the door shut. The doctor looked at him, his face focusing visibly. I can't give you a prescription, he said. But doctor, this is a legitimate condition, an emergency, you understand. No prescription impossible, it's against the law. You took an oath, doctor, I'm in agony. Daddy's voice shot up to a hysterical grating whine. The doctor winced and passed a hand over his forehead. Let me think. I can give you 1/4 grain tablet. That's all I have in the house. But doctor, 1/4 g. The doctor stopped him. If your condition is legitimate, you will not need more. If it isn't, I don't want anything to do with you. Wait right here. The doctor weaved down the hall, leaving a wake of alcoholic breath. He came back and dropped a tablet into Danny's hand. Danny wrapped the tablet in a piece of paper and tucked it away. There is no charge. The doctor put his hand on the doorknob. And now, my dear, but doctor, can't you inject the medication? No, you will obtain longer relief than using orally. Please not to return. The doctor opened the door. Well, this will take the edge off, and I still have money to put down on a room, Danny thought. Danny put down $2 on a $6-a-week room in the West 40s, where he knew the landlord. He bolted the door and put his spoon, needle, and dropper on a table by the bed. He dropped the tablet in the spoon and covered it with a dropper full of water. He held a match under the spoon until the tablet dissolved. He tore a strip of paper, wet it, and wrapped it around the end of the dropper, fitting the needle over the wet paper to make an airtight connection. He dropped the piece of lint from his pocket into the spoon and sucked the liquid into the dropper through the needle, holding the needle in the lint to take up the last drop. Danny's hands trembled with excitement and his breath was quick. With a shot in front of him, his defenses gave way and junk sickness flooded his body. His legs began to twitch and ache. Cramps stirred in his stomach. Tears ran down his face from his smarting, burning eyes. He wrapped a handkerchief around his right arm, holding the end in his teeth. He tucked the handkerchief in and began rubbing his arm to bring out a vein. Guess I can hit that one, he thought, running one finger along a vein. He picked up the dropper in his left hand. Danny heard a groan from the next room. He frowned with annoyance. Another groan. He could not help listening. He walked across the room, the dropper in his hand, and inclined his ear to the wall. The groans were coming at regular intervals, a horrible, inhuman sound pushed out from the stomach. Johnny listened for a full minute. He returned to the bed and sat down. Why don't someone call a doctor, he thought indignantly. It's a bring down. He straightened his arm and poised the needle. He tilted his head, listening again. Oh, for Christ's sake. He tore off the handkerchief and placed the dropper in a water glass, which he hid behind the wastebasket. He stepped into the hall and knocked on the door of the next room. There was no answer. The groans continued. Danny tried the door. It was open. The shade was up and the room was full of light. He'd expected an old person somehow, but the man on the bed was very young, 18 or 20. Fully clothed and doubled up with his hands clasped across his stomach. What's wrong, kid? Danny asked. The boy looked at him, his eyes blank with pain. Finally, he got out one word. Kidneys. Kidney stones, Danny smiled. I don't mean it's funny, kid. It's just I've faked it so many times, never saw the real thing before. I'll call an ambulance. The boy bit his lip. Won't come. Doctors won't come. The boy hid his face in the pillow. Danny nodded. They figure it's just another junkie throwing a winding for a shot. But your case is legit. Maybe if I went to the hospital and explained things, no, I guess that wouldn't be so good. Danny trailed off. Suddenly he put out his thin, dirty hand and touched the boy's shoulder. I'm sorry, kid. You wait. I'll fix you up. He went back to his room and got the dropper and returned to the boy's room. Roll up your sleeve, kid. The boy fumbled his coat sleeve with a weak hand. That's okay. I'll get it. Danny undid the shirt button at the wrist and pushed the shirt and coat up, barring a thin brown forearm. Danny hesitated, looking at the dropper. Sweat ran down his nose. The boy was looking up at him. Danny shoved the needle in the boy's forearm and watched the liquid drain into the flesh. He straightened up. The boy's face began to relax. He sat up and smiled. Say, that stuff really works, he said. You a doctor, mister? No, kid. The boy lay down, stretching. I feel real sleepy. Didn't sleep all last night. His eyes were closing. Danny walked across the room and pulled the shade down. He went back to his room and closed the door without locking it. He sat on the bed, looking at the empty dropper. It was getting dark outside. Danny's body ached for junk, but it was a dull ache now, dull and hopeless. Suddenly a warm flood pulsed through his veins and broke in his head like a thousand golden speedballs. For Christ's sake, Danny thought, I must have scored for the immaculate fix. The vegetable serenity of junk settled in his tissues. His face went slack and peaceful, and his head fell forward. Danny the car wiper was on the nod.
Junkies Christmas by William S. Burroughs, who was an American playwright, poet, novelist, short story writer, and spoken word performer and painter. Sorry, he wasn't a playwright. I just made that up. He was a primary figure in the Beat Generation and also a major postmodernist author. He is considered to be one of the most politically trenchant, culturally influential, and innovative artists of the 20th century. And the quote that I like from Burroughs the most is this one. The people in power will not disappear voluntarily. Giving flowers to the cops just isn't going to work. This thinking is fostered by the establishment. They like nothing better then love and non-violence. The only way I like to see cops given flowers is in a flower pot from a high window. And I just wanted to mention something which happened over the weekend, which was quite good and inspirational as well. There was a refugee from China who was to be removed back to China, Wei Lin, and he was on scheduled on an Air China flight from Sydney to Beijing on Friday night. But the people in the plane got alerted because he was handcuffed, and he faked he needed to go to the toilet or something, and he ran up the aisle, and there were Serco security guards going after him, stop that man, and he was escorted back to his seat, and he said, "This is how they treat me." And several passengers on the plane then approached staff and explained that they would not be taking their seats until Wei Lin was removed from the aircraft. And it took a little while and a bit of fumbling and the rest, but there were seven of them who were standing up and refusing to take their seats so that the pilot could not take off the plane. And after 90 minutes, the pilot agreed to remove Wei Lin from the aircraft, and he was not forcibly deported back to China. In other deportation news, there was a refugee from Iran who had failed in his refugee status application, and since Iran does not take back refugees forcibly, the immigration department was trying to force him to sign papers that would say that he's voluntarily returning to Iran, and he was refusing to do that because if he was sent back to Iran, he would be executed. Incidentally, Iran has executed over 600 people this year, and so he was on hunger strike for 51 days. Last week we talked about hunger strikes as a political tool. He was on hunger strike for 51 days, and finally some people from the Asylum Seeker Resource Center agreed to file an appeal in the Federal Circuit Court. So he stopped his hunger strike and hopefully will be getting back into full health soon. Ray is up next with Echoes, and I'm going to leave you with a song which was a request from Franklin Lopez, and it's by the Savage Family, and it's called Hatred. I want to mention something which is happening tomorrow at 69 Thomas Street, put on by the Brisbane Solidarity Network, and it's a reading group of a text called Betrayal, a critical analysis of rape culture. That is set to be a gritty one tomorrow night from 7 o'clock. I'm going to leave you now with this song by the Savage Family. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Franklin for talking to us, even though he is ailing.
Ain't no peaceful coexistence, this mission is something sacred, though I'll never let the hatred go until the crimes are paid in full, I promise that. I'm conscious of they dirty fucking lives. I know too many of my natives who just couldn't wait to die. Do you feel that? And would you hate me if I killed them? Same crooked pigs who couldn't wait to rape our children. Fuck that, for every empty grave that they drop and give us, see they cities burn without concern for the consequence. I stand with savages who walk the same path, native but not the rain dance. Cock back and knock your brains out, back to the basics. Take back these places in this land of all the longer holding back. Low straps and let this battle start. All or nothing. Call your bluff, you ain't bout the realness. I'm out to kill them, firebombing, knocking down they buildings. We in the shadows where resistance great. Gripping heat to victory in this war. I swore never to submit beneath them. We got a spirit that surrounds them, won't allow surrender. So we'll fight with every ounce, and we'll be down whenever. Remember what the fuck them devils did, this rebel shit. And ever since we've been told, we know this war will never end. We got a spirit that surrounds them, won't allow surrender. So we'll fight with every ounce, and we'll be down whenever. Remember what the fuck them devils did, this rebel shit. And ever since we've been told, we know this war will never end.
I'm made from Buffalo Hides, it's no bare eyes. My strength is in the winds, that power to tide. Solar flares from polar bears, just defending they lies. Watch the pole shift, no bullshit, time to open our eyes. Cause we live in a subjugation, just look at the reservation. Centuries of devastation, but we breaking that formation. Alignment of native nations, creating deadly combinations. The war gone cold, but we still feeling the abrasions. Broken lives and death tolls, beyond the fucking Jews. No intervention from the outside, no World War II. It's just kill, 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 till the killing comes back to you. And that killing is overdue, so we killing to make a move. Back against the borders, hopeless, pointing them back at you. Preparing for the pain, to intensify with change. Fighting through the flames, for our mother, that's why we bang. Against these occupiers, bleeding in veins, the native and never change.
We got a spirit that surrounds them, won't allow surrender. So we'll fight with every ounce, and we'll be down whenever. Remember what the fuck them devils did, this rebel shit. And ever since we've been told, we know this war will never end. We got a spirit that surrounds them, won't allow surrender. So we'll fight with every ounce, and we'll be down whenever. Remember what the fuck them devils did, this rebel shit. And ever since we've been told, we know this war will never end.
Everything I see, it made no fucking sense of me. Be a rich should be a crime, but it's okay if you don't eat. Or the ones that make the guns got us killing everyone. They never see a day locked away from the sun. What about my older brother? Never killed no motherfucker. 20 fucking years they locked him down in the goddamn dungeons. Mine is running, wanting something better for my kids. Or quick to die for nothing. At times it gets hard to live. And hell, we all been there. Look us deep in our eyes. Religion the bullshit, and when we die, we all rise. Disguise they lies with suit and ties, and they call they hustle church. They with the fan by the fire, singing songs, stomping dirt. When see us bleed, yes indeed, dumb us down, blaze some trees. Label symptoms, fatal prescriptions, they're in control when we fiend. Staying sober, poised like a cobra, and just waiting to strike. Kids are dying, they just worried about the cuss words that we write. Get the fuck out my life, slit your neck with a slice. My machete through your Bible, are you ready to die? Our purpose and our passion is to murder the lies. Non-existent in this bitch, you never heard of these guys.
You've been listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Zed Digital. For information about the show, you can go to autonomousactionradio.com or 4ZZZFM.org.au.
For drug offenses,
Does the state really care about your own misguided will?